This is not a drill. This is not a drill. Okay, we are recording good. For real.
Yeah, we are. Okay.
This is for real.
Hey everyone, welcome to Catholic Bites. This is Father Conrad. I'm with Father Rich Mizzarandino from the Diocese of Arlington. I almost said the Darlington.
The Darling Diocese of Arlington, yes, of course.
The Darlington. and today we're going to be talking for some reason. Today we're going to be talking for some reason about how birds find magnetic north.
Sure, yes, of course.
Okay, tell us about birds finding magnetic north.
Yes, so my name is Father Richard Mizzarandino.
No, we're using your real voice. Oh,
but I'm from Darlington, which is across a quaint river. One of the things that I love is science. As a Catholic priest, I was a physicist before I was a priest. And so I love to do things like read random articles, especially about the natural sciences and the hard sciences. And one of the interesting things that they've just actually discovered in the field of genetics is how birds figure out how to fly towards magnetic north or magnetic south. If you think about it, we know that they kind of do that.
Do we know that? Just because they migrate north and they migrate south?
Or? Yeah, I mean, what are the ones that, what are they? They're finches, sparrows. What are they in Rome? Like the huge clouds.
Oh,
of birds.
Yeah, yeah. The starlings.
They call them murmurations. They're like big bird tornadoes that kind of come up from Africa. And so they basically start up in the north, and it happens all over the world, but in Italy, they start up in the north of Europe. And then as the seasons change, this enormous population of birds just comes down en masse, like an enormous storm front of birds. And they fly all across the city of Rome and all across the Mediterranean. They take a breather in Malta, and then they go down to Africa. And it's okay. And then when the seasons change again, they turn around, they come all the way back. And it's not readily apparent. They don't have little bird maps, and they don't really have little bird GPSs. So it's not we know that they do it, and we know that they don't get lost and sometimes end up in Fiji. It's pretty, it's pretty routine.
It's clearly that they know that they go north or south.
And it's so how? How do birds know to fly? And it's the same flight patterns. They don't veer off and go through Spain sometime or Greece. It's always, from this point in Africa to Malta to Italy to, and in a line, basically, and north-south. And so they've been trying to figure this out for a while, and there have been some pretty unconvincing theories that they had. It's kind of like if you remember the types of theories that they had about outer space before we really got out there, where people thought it was it's the ether, you see. And, there's some goop that's sort of out there that everything floats around it. Well, there were theories like that about the birds, too. And one of the most popular ones was that all little birds are born with little magnetic compasses, little bits of iron in their beak that are kind of attracted towards north or south, and so they work like little bird compasses, and they're attracted there, right? That's the magnetic waves come out of the poles, and they sort of suck the birds to them somehow. Unsurprisingly, that's actually not how it works. And
so you mean birds don't have little magnetic compasses in their
It
ruins my picture of birds.
Yeah, exactly. it also explains why when everybody has ever dissected a bird in the history of humanity, they didn't actually find this tiny little compass there, because it doesn't exist. But the mystery still remained. How do they know? And the answer actually came in genetic testing. They found that these birds have these genetic markers called cryptochromes. And basically what they do is they actually allow the bird to see various shades of natural light as they're altered in slight and minute ways by the magnetic field of the Earth. And the best example of this would be blue light. And so they're basically what they posit, because we don't really know how birds see. We can't zap into their perspective.
It'd be cool.
But it'd be a drone. But what they know is that these receptors are in the bird's eyes, and they're conditioned to basically see the variations in blue light caused by the magnetic field. So literally, things get lighter or darker in the blueness of things for birds as they face north or south or away from them. So east or west would maybe be a darker blue. When they see things that are blue, it's a darker shade. And north or south would be a brighter blue. And variations in between there. So they sort of see the world in this different panorama. And so they know when they're facing the right direction, because they see how the light changes in response to the magnetic field.
Okay, so this is fascinating and really cool and ruins my picture of birds migrating with their little compasses. But besides that point, which I'm not bitter about.
What does this actually have to do with anything?
Why are we talking about this?
Well, we're talking about it because it's super interesting, but this is Catholic Bites. So I am going somewhere with this, I promise. So the connection as I see it is this. We all, like birds, navigate a different world every day. We navigate a moral landscape. We don't, you know, migrate, so to speak, in north to south. Some people, I guess, do snowbirds. But, like, most of us have a moral landscape, and we're just trying to find our way home like these little birds to heaven. And we do so by navigating a series of moral choices, ultimately in choosing Christ and ultimately in choosing our faith through them, through good actions and morally ordered actions. And the church teaches us that, you know, all of these decisions, we can build habits towards, like, good decision making. We can build habits towards good living by the grace of God called virtues. And I submit for your consideration and for the consideration of all listening that ultimately our building of virtues doesn't change the way we see the world, much like this ability to see magnetic fields doesn't change the way that the bird sees the world. It still sees trees and still sees cars and mm-hmm. it still sees seed and, like, you know, all the things that we do, but rather it colors them. So that when we develop the virtues guided by, for instance, the virtue of prudence, which is the virtue that enables us to choose rightly in different circumstances, when we cultivate this habit of virtue, we actually see the choices, the moral choices, the moral landscape and possible ways that we can fly with our actions as colored by their goodness, their inherent goodness and orderedness towards God or away from God. So it's kind of like by living the moral life of the church, we're developing the eyes, these bird eyes, that sounds horrific, but the vision to really see the morality of things and ultimately to see the morality as leading us towards or away from God.
So if I had virtue, which is a big if I had virtue, yesterday when I was presented with the third piece of ice cream cake, which I ate, true story, I would have like my compass, that would have been a little bit bluer with not literally, but, you know, that would my moral compass would have been like naturally saying, you know, this isn't going to lead you closer to God and closer to fulfillment. It's just going to make you sick to your stomach. I would have naturally been able to navigate that way. The virtues enable us to just kind of glide around. Is that the moral landscape? Or?
Yeah, and in a certain sense, like, we develop the savor, the taste for holiness. We develop the savor and the taste for goodness. And so, like, you meet people, you meet, like, a good baseball player, a virtuous baseball player, somebody who has, like, the good habits of baseball, like, naturally hits the ball well. They just do it well because they've built up the habit and they've practiced it. And so it's freeing for them. It's a joyful thing for them. But they kind of play baseball
and
well.
And they don't have to think about it almost.
No, you know, it's like, you know, like...
Bryce Harper doesn't think about, you know, actively how he's holding his bat or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's thinking about, like, it frees him up to think about other things that in turn make him even better baseball player. But, like, he's not thinking about many of the things that, like, I would be thinking about, you know, like, oh, you know, like,
don't
I'm...
die
you
know, exactly this, like, 99 mile per hour.
Exactly. It's like, oh, nope, I'm holding the bat wrong, and it's like, I'm holding it like a golf club or something else like that. But, yeah, I mean, there's things that, like, that habit of virtuous baseball playing frees him up to do that, and he does it naturally without thinking about it because he's cultivated that habit. And it's the same for us. As we cultivate the habits of virtue that guide us slowly to God, as we cultivate, you know, a sound and healthy moral life, then, yeah, we notice the color variations of the landscape, the bluer parts that are maybe leading us away from God, or the brighter parts that are kind of leading us towards God. And that's the beautiful thing. So Scripture kind of backs this up, right? So Scripture talks about St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians says, you know, in that famous hymn, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus," et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In Romans, he says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The whole thing is, I don't know, when I was in high school, everybody had "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets, right? And mm-hmm. they all, you know, they wore the bracelet and then, like, kind of acted like Jesus sometimes, like when it was convenient.
They grew longer hair.
Yeah, you know, some of them tried to grow beards. It was awkward. But the point of Christian life is not so much that you would stop, like, at every moment in life and actually, like, consciously think, like, when you're in the store buying pears or something like that, would Jesus buy this pear? and, you know, sort of really try and discern in that way, but rather that you've habituated yourself to let the mind of Christ, to let the habits of virtue that were also in Christ Jesus dwell in you by your disposing yourself to them in the sacraments and through the life of the church, so that you're living out that faith in a real and true and beautiful way, and so that you've developed sort of that vision to see those choices.
And that gives a lot of freedom. You know, if a bird had to stop and check his compass and his map every, like, couple of miles, like, oh, that looks like Malta down there. Okay, there's a lot more... there's a lot more decision making. There's a lot more tension and anxiety, and it's the same thing with us in the moral life. You know, if every second of the day I'm thinking, oh my gosh, is this the right thing to do, or is that the right thing to do, then we're not truly living in the freedom. That's the first step, right?
Yeah,
that's the first step. But then we're not truly living in the freedom of the sons of God. In reality, we need to grow more deeply, and we naturally desire to follow his way.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the beautiful, like, you think about the birds, back to the birds, always comes back to the birds. but I swear, I'm not obsessed with the birds. But so the interesting thing is, like, they do it freely. They do it naturally. It comes natural to them. And actually, like, being disposed to God, being disposed to holiness is, like, what's most natural to us. Sin is not natural. It's an actual turning away from what makes us happy and makes us free. God is natural. It takes a struggle because we have fallen. And so, like, the more we grow in virtue, the more we become freely ourselves. The more we grow in the grace of God, the more we become who we're supposed to be. And the most free and beautiful people in the world are saints.
That is definitely true. Well, Father Rich, thank you so much. Thanks for sharing these interesting things about birds. And then thank you for helping us see the moral life a little bit more clearly. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to listen to more talks on great Catholic nerdy subjects, or not so nerdy, we'll see, you can check us out at CatholicBitesPodcast.com. There's all sorts of content there waiting for you if you want to learn more about the Catholic faith. And we'll catch you next time on another episode. So take care and God bless.
Cheers.